Is China's long slowdown a structural collapse? Commentary. China's ongoing economic deconstruction is like watching a train wreck in slow motion, with one boxcar after another coming off the track. The thing about train wrecks is that getting the train back on track isn't easy or quick. For years, China's slowdown was said to be cyclical, just one more stimulus package away from recovery. Nobody believes that anymore. Certainly not the Chinese people. What's unfolding now in China is a structural collapse that's self-reinforcing because the Chinese Communist Party is incapable of correcting itself. Domestic demand has cratered. No one is more tuned in to China's economy than the consumers living in it. China's consumer price index rose just 0.5% year over year in July 2026, its slowest reading since January and well below forecasts. That statistic alone indicates weakness in the domestic economy. Core inflation is also weak. This isn't a fluke in economic statistics. China has seen about 10 consecutive quarters of deflationary pressure, the longest deflationary period since it became a market economy in the late 1970s. As a result, consumer households are facing multiple challenges simultaneously. Home values are falling, income is stagnant, and job insecurity and unemployment are rising. As a result, Chinese consumers are spending less and saving more. The savings rate keeps climbing instead of falling. That's a big red flag. A healthy consumer economy needs households to spend, not hoard, money. But even as real disposable income growth continued to decelerate, household savings hit a record high in early 2026. That's the exact opposite result that China's stimulus plan was supposed to produce. But people struggling through the extended economic malaise in which they've lived for years now know the reality. When they don't trust the property market, the job market, or the safety net promised by the CCP, they save instead of buy. That single behavioral shift is strangling the demand side of the entire economy. Fixed asset investment isn't just slowing, it's shrinking. Fixed asset investment fell 5.7% year over year in the first half of 2026, worse than forecast and accelerating from a 4.1% decline in May. That's a huge negative for a manufacturing-based economy such as China's. What's more, property investment alone plunged 18%. That follows a 3.8% annual contraction in 2025, the first full-year decline in fixed investment since records began in 1996. But even if real estate is removed from the calculation, investment is still falling. This is a country whose entire growth model for three decades ran on building things. That engine is now in reverse. Beijing's response? Overproduction. As a result, China's daily output of integrated circuits topped 1.5 billion units in the first half of 2026 alone, far beyond what domestic buyers can absorb. Even the solar power sector, which China dominates, is underwater. Solar giants Tongwei, LONGi, and TCL Zhonghuan were projected to post combined losses exceeding 10 billion yuan in the first half of 2026, driven by oversupply alone. Economists call this downward spiral of price reductions involution, in which companies slash prices to survive. The price cuts narrow profit margins, force wage and job cuts, and further weaken demand. This dynamic, in turn, triggers a new round of price cuts and so on. The outcome, of course, is predictable. Companies' profitability goes away. Today, more than a quarter of listed Chinese companies are now unprofitable, the highest percentage in 25 years. The export lifeline is fraying. Unable to generate domestic demand, the CCP is relying on export manufacturing, the country's primary advantage in the global economy. As a result, China posted a record $1.2 trillion trade surplus in 2025, with exports climbing even as imports stayed flat. But that surplus exists only because Chinese exporters rerouted shipments away from a tariff-walled United States and flooded other markets instead. China now accounts for roughly 30% of global manufacturing output while representing only 13% of global consumption. This imbalance has not gone unnoticed. China's practice of dumping underpriced goods could be destroying European manufacturers. China's trade surplus with the European Union hit 360 billion euros in 2025 and rose another 24% in the first half of 2026. The EU's tolerance for such behavior has been exhausted. Europe and Japan are actively de-risking their economies with respect to China. The EU is slashing tariff-free steel quotas by 47% and doubling out-of-quota duties to 50% through 2031, with new rules designed to stop Chinese steel from being rerouted through third countries. In fact, the rest of the world is done absorbing China's underpriced goods and destructive policies. Recently, the Group of Seven leaders, without naming China directly, formally flagged the trade imbalance as a shared concern. Furthermore, the EU faces slower growth and recession risk, shrinking the very markets Beijing needs to dump its surplus into. The foreign markets Beijing has relied on to absorb its domestic overcapacity are erecting increasingly tough barriers. Youth unemployment high, even as youth population shrinks. As China's population shrinks, so does its youth population. This should make it easier to find jobs. But that's not the case. Urban youth unemployment was 14.9% in June 2026. That's higher than the 14.5% recorded a year earlier, despite months of modest improvement. That number was actually above 21% in 2023, before the CCP changed the counting method. The bottom line is that in the world's largest manufacturing economy, too many young people can't find work. That's proof the economy isn't generating enough opportunity even for even smaller numbers of young people. As bad as it is now, the long-term implications can't be ignored either. Fewer workers mean permanently lower production and consumption. The deepest problem is political, not economic. At the center of this downward spiral is the CCP. It is, after all, running the economy, even as it runs it into a ditch. The worse things get, the tighter the party's grip becomes. The tighter that grip, the less capacity the economy has to self-correct. The picture isn't pretty. This isn't a slowdown waiting for the next quarter's data to turn around. It's a system run by the CCP that is incapable of fixing its own mistakes as it drives the country to ruin.